Hello and welcome. This is Richard from the Veg Grow Podcast. This is episode 111 or 111, titled How I Deal with Weeds. So today I'll be covering the latest going on in the plots, and followed by basically how I deal with weeds, which was the winning subject from the competition sent in by Steve. I'm going to throw out a few crazy ideas when I discuss this, but bear with me and you'll see where I'm coming from. But firstly, a bit of an update today with regards to chickens. If you're keeping chickens, which I highly recommend, as you know, in England, I don't know about Wales or Scotland or Northern Ireland, but certainly in England, from Thursday, after Thursday, we're allowed to let them out again, which is absolutely brilliant. And I think my girls will be really pleased to get out because they are desperate. I have to admit today they have awarded me with 3 eggs when I opened up the nest box. One of the eggs was a bit soft, but never mind. 3 eggs. I hope there's nothing wrong with them. I'll be keeping an eye on them over the next few days. Well, I think that's just one of these flukes. So anyway, let's cover the diary. During the week, most of my work has basically been watering the seedlings and moving them around to get them to harden off. The watering is being done daily. I'm actually kind of be glad if we get a bit of rain. It's been a few weeks without rain, and it's the soil and the pots and things are thirsty. So a bit of rain would be good. In fact, one of my water butts I've just drained off today, so could do with some water and rain. The brassicas have been getting a bit too hot in the greenhouse, so since I've moved them outside, they seem to be a lot happier and growing really well. Which isn't unusual for brassicas, they are a cooler plant. I noticed last week that one of my water butts that was set up around the veg batch was leaking, so I siphoned off what water I could and put that into cans and things, and I've used those up, and I've got to patch up this leak, and then I can fill that up again before it rains. Saturday, I went down the allotment. I was down there all day and had a fantastic day. I'm actually sunburnt from it, but I can't believe sunburn at the beginning of April. I should have taken suntan lotion, and I've discussed that before, so my bad. Anyway, I wanted to plant all my Sapo Mira potatoes, but I realised I was a bit low on pots to actually plant them in. I salvaged what I can, and I ended up with enough, just. But I was using old paint pots and things like that, just to make up the numbers and have enough. I've planted out a tray of onion seedlings under netting, and just to see how they get on. These are just stuck in the ground in on the newer half of the plot, if I'm honest. And these were the Bedfordshire Champion that was sown in January. I haven't checked on them since Saturday. I've got to get there and give them a good watering, which I'm hoping to do tomorrow morning. I then spent a long time pulling out weeds amongst the autumn raspberries. And this is an area that's been annoying me a lot lately, and I just wanted to get it done. I'm never going to get all the weeds out because it's basically a lot of couch grass, and that's growing amongst the canes, so it's almost impossible to get all of it out. But I've got most of it out. I was pulling it out by hand and using my little hand weeder. I've then thrown mulch from the compost bins, compost if you like, from the compost bin, which meant I've almost got that empty, which was another thing I wanted off my list. But that's gone all over the autumn bedding. I've still got the summer raspberries to do, and I'll be doing the same as I just said with those. I also threw some compost over the sweet corn bed just to give it a bit of a mulch. This was probably the thicker stuff compared to what I had on the raspberry bed, but it's just to do it a lot of good. Sunday, I spent the day at home and I basically set aside a few hours and I went through all the pots I had in the bottom of the garden. These were empty pots. I just wanted to sort them out, given any slugs and snails I found to the chickens. I tidied it up a bit and worked out what I've got, which meant I found that I managed to salvage basically some more pots for the potatoes that I'll be sowing this weekend. Amongst all this lot, I found my super hoses and I've set that up in the greenhouse and on the veg patch. Well, I've connected them to the water, but I've got to actually plug them in and run them properly, but they're there. I potted on some parsley, dill and broad bean, just getting those looking a bit better. Also done some sweet peas, which are for the allotment, and some at home. I don't really talk about flowers, but I decided sweet peas might just add a bit of, get some more insects for germination. I've also put the large sorrel into a large pot. This was grown in the trug I have on my patio. So I've dug that out. I had to cut it out, really. And I've put that into a very large pot with plenty of compost, giving it a good watering. And it's taken a lot of watering, but I think it'll pick up. Then in the potting shed, I potted on some Brussels sprouts and got those going. And then I sowed some vine tomato, old German organic. These came from Seedy Sunday and they were given away. Some gherkin cucumbers and some okra. And these were just, use all those up and get them done, basically. You know my attitude this year is just use it up and see what happens. Okay, so that's the diary wrapped up with. Let's move on to Steve's suggestion of a podcast and how I deal with weeds. Now, I'll openly admit I hate weeding. I find it mind-numbing, boring task, especially when trying to get no weeds at all. But you will see on my photos and my videos, there's weeds everywhere. Some gardeners are extremely fastidious with their weeds and will not have a single one, and I envy that. I really do. But I also think they spend so much time removing the weeds and not enough time caring for the plants and what have you. However, I can't fault them for that. I mean, that is achieved by literally being strict, being really high self-disciplined and being patient. Because everything I say about getting weeds over the next over this subject, for it to really come into effect and you have very, very few weeds, can take a few years to really get there. So what is a weed? Simply put, a weed is a plant that is grown where it shouldn't be. For example, a potato from last year that has sprouted and is in where carrots will be grown this year, that's a weed because it's somewhere where it shouldn't be. So I've just covered that just so we can define what a weed is, because the original suggestion from Steve was about annual weeds, perennial weeds, overgrown plot, but I will try and get a bit more into how I deal with perennial and annual weeds a bit later on, but I just want to clarify that a weed is a plant, and regardless of what it is, treat it like that. Now, with an overgrown plot, most allotments, when you take them on, will be overgrown and what have you. I was at a seminar once, and somebody asked the speaker what his best advice was to deal with an overgrown plot. And his advice was the best I've ever heard. And his advice was to get pigs to do the work. But if you can't get pigs, then you have to act like a pig and do the work that a pig would do. And what they mean by that is if you let a pig loose, it will just eat all the stuff down. I mean, chickens are good at it and many other cattle. They will eat all the weeds down, down to the earth, dig up the roots and what have you, and you'll be left with a pristine plot. Although it'll be a bit of a muddy plot. So to act like a pig, we basically need to cut all the weeds down. Bear in mind, this is an overgrown plot, so I'm expecting brambles and things like that. Now for this, I recommend a brush cutter. And a brush cutter is basically a strimmer, but instead of having a bit of plastic string on the end, it's got a metal blade that spins very fast, very sharp, and it cuts through brambles and things like a knife through hot butter. Really good piece of kit, and I highly recommend them. You probably won't need it again once you've got on top of a plot, but it is a worthwhile piece of kit. In fact, a friend of mine who does gardening started up his own business. Once he got a brush cutter, he was amazed with it. He came running to me saying how good it was. So that's a really good recommendation there. Now, once we're down, got all the weeds down, we need to dig it over and remove every tiny bit of root and plant out of the ground. So you're left with nothing but soil. That's easier said than done, but if you're patient, fastidious, and what have you, you will get there. I don't recommend doing a whole plot in one go, but just do it bit by bit, and you'll get there. Do not rotivate. Do not rotivate. Do not rotivate. Because rotivation will chop up all the tiny bits of root and make it particularly more, well, make a lot more plants, really. Good examples of this would be couch grass or dandelion. And basically, couch grass is a type of grass, and I suffer badly from it down the allotment. But it's got the grass has a long threaded white root. If that gets cut up, every little beast will grow another clump of grass, and it just becomes a nightmare to hold on to. And that's the same with dandelions. That whole root, you cut that up, it'll come out. So the best way to remove perennials is to remove them completely. So that means digging out all the root, all the plant, getting all the roots out the ground. So that is easier said than done. I know. Now we're left with a clean soil. We need to keep it weed free, as nature hates an empty space and it will take over. That is nature's role. If there's a space there, it'll put something there. My recommendation here is just a hoe, hoe and hoe. Even when there's no weeds in sight, just hoe it. There's a saying, if you hoe when you don't see a weed, you will never see a weed. And what they're basically saying is that you're disturbing the soil before the seed that may be in the soil, if it just starts to germinate, and you're cutting it off. And when I talk about sowing seeds, I've said that seed has so much energy to produce a plant. And if you're cutting it off, that energy is wasted, so it will wither and die. And obviously, as a plant grows, its leaves are trying to harness solar radiation to feed its root, to make it grow. Which is why hoeing is so good, because it literally cuts the plant off. Now, this works with perennials as well. I said about removing the roots, and if you can remove the roots, that's what I highly recommend with perennials. But I will say it is easier said than done. But if you keep hoeing and that perennial tries putting up its leaves, those leaves are going to be cut off. So therefore, each time it puts up leaves, it's going to lose some of its energy. There are some weeds out there, some perennial weeds, some quite nasty ones, that you cut the tops off, the root will spread out like suckers, if you like, and spread out more plants to try and make more of it to survive. And these are nasty plants. Eventually, if you keep hoeing and stuff, they will die in theory, if you look at the plant. But by then, they could have grown into your neighbours and stuff. But bear that in mind. I mean, I can't in this list every type of weed, because there's just so many. And as I said, my definition of a weed is a plant that is growing where it shouldn't be. Now, if you have a bare patch of soil and you don't want to keep hoeing it, you can cover with a mulch or membrane, and this will stop the light getting through. So if a seed does try and grow, it's not going to get any light, which tallies back to what I say. Now, a membrane, you can use like a black, almost weed suppressant membrane or landscaping fabric. That does a pretty good job, I will admit. A cheaper alternative to this would be cardboard, and I've used cardboard many times before. It does deteriorate given time, especially if it gets wet, but it's free, you can get hold of it easily, and you can put as much of it down as you want. Even if it deteriorates, just put more. It does work, it really does work. It's not quite as good as membrane, just from the fact that it will deteriorate, but it does work. And then mulches, obviously, you can use like a wood chip or something like that. And if you put it on top of the membrane or cardboard, you get twice as good. If you put it on top of soil, you can still get weeds grow through, but they are a lot easier to come by. In some cases, if you lay a tarpaulin down, it will bring up many roots to the soil as well, up to the top, which is quite interesting to see. And that quite often makes things easier to pull out. Because if you're using a mulch or membrane, you want to leave it in place until you're ready to plant. And then once you plant your plants that you're planning to grow, you need to basically keep hoeing, if you can, between the plants. But of course, a hoe is basically a sharp knife on the end of a stick, and if you nick one of your plants, you end up killing it yourself. So the best way to do this is on your hands and knees and remove the tops of the plants, or the whole plant if you can, by hand, just grabbing them and pulling them out of the soil. It's very annoying, it's very a long process, but it's probably one of the most efficient ways of doing it. Most of these plants will be annuals at this point. So remove them ASAP so they don't flower. And obviously when a plant flowers, it's going to produce more seed, which will turn into more weeds. So get straight on top of it by then. Another idea I've implemented is using other plants to cover crop the soil. Such as strawberries under trees. Strawberries, obviously, they spread their leaves about, they spread their babies about, if you like, as well, their runners. And that just stops weeds growing by blocking the light out. You will still get a few, but they can be removed by hand, like I said just now. Rhubarb is very good at this, although you don't really use it as a cover crop. But if you look at a rhubarb patch, you don't find many weeds because the rhubarb leaves are so big that it's just blocking the light out that no other plant is going to survive. And always remember, nature hates a space and will try to fill it with something. Keep that in mind, and you can't go far wrong. Now, I'm going to bring up a bit of a taboo subject with this whole thing, and you're probably wondering why I haven't gone on to it yet or suggested it. And that's weed killer, which obviously has a bad reputation these days, quite rightly. But I personally do believe there is a place for weed killer. Now, why I say it has a place, I'm going to get out of the way because you're probably thinking I'm, if you're into your organic stuff, and you're probably thinking I'm being crazy here. Weeds that grow in foundations and are going to ruin a house, for example, that's where weed killer as a subject, because it's going to do more damage than any good. However, apart from that, I have another school of thought that I've read about. I kind of agree. I haven't done it myself, but that is, again, with a new allotment or an overgrown patch, that is to use weed killer at first to kill all the plants down so you can plant on it. The idea here is basically the weed killer isn't then coming into the food that you're growing. You can clear a patch, you can get on, you can grow food. The weed killer itself should be neutralised by sun, which is why it's suggested by it for this method. Sorry about that, the wife on the phone as always. Anyway, where was I? They say that the sun neutralises the weed killer and so it doesn't go into the soil. Personally, I think it does go into the soil. But if you're only using it the once just to get the weeds done and then you're going on to organic purposes, it'll take a while to build up the organic side of things. It's a difficult one, this, because I've read it, I kind of agree with it, but I've never done it. And I can't claim to have done this. The only place I've ever used a weed killer is on a path where the weeds got so bad, no matter what I did, would get rid of them. But again, that's not ideal. There is a type of weed killer, if you want to go through this route, that's a bit like a deodorant stick, and you dab it onto the plant, which means basically it doesn't come into contact with anything else. However, weed killer is bad stuff. It's not good for nature. It's a chemical. If a chemical builds up in the soil, if you use it too much, I prefer not to use it. As I said, I do feel there is a place for weed killer, but I don't like it. But of course, if that's what anybody out there wants to do, I'm not going to stop you from doing it. And you can do whatever you want to do. That's your plot, and that's nothing to do with me. I just like to say what I do. The no-dig method is also meant to be very good at stopping weeds, as it makes it the seeds work harder to get to the sunlight and doesn't bring seeds up to the surface when you're digging it over and stuff. However, of course, if weed seeds or roots are in your compost, they may germinate then and what have you. You can try and stop this by making sure flower heads and seeds don't go into your compost bin, or roots, try and burn them, because it's unlikely your compost bin is going to get hot enough to kill off all these seeds and stuff. I've got to admit, having the chickens, they're pretty good at eating seedlings too when allowed to roam and what have you, given enough space. Again, that comes back to the whole pig thing I was saying about earlier, but that is other options. But as I said, if you can't have pigs or chickens or whatever, you've got to emulate it. So think of it like that. And another inspiring thing I heard Bob Flowerdew say when it comes to weeding is he saw it as harvesting goodness, or basically compost material. So he was mining minerals and stuff like that. So try not to think of it as weeding, think of it as harvesting compost material. So that's really how I deal with weeds, and a few suggestions for other alternatives. But if anybody else has any other comments, let me know on the blog. A bit of news from last week. Sean James Cameron, I mentioned him many times before. He's a blogger, YouTuber. I've also said he does podcasts, but he hasn't done any for a while. Well, he's announced that he is restarting the gardening podcasts in the very near future. Will be weekly from what has been announced, and I'm really looking forward to hearing it. He has replaced it that it's not on his old system of using Spreaker. It's now on Acast, but I have read also he's trying to get on released on iTunes. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that. That's Sean's Allotment Garden is the name of a podcast. I, for one, welcome his podcast, more podcasts on our hobby. I think it's a great idea. So many people have said to me now that they like to listen to podcasts while they're gardening. And YouTube is full of gardeners. But, of course, you've got to sit down and watch it to take it in. Whereas I just feel podcasts are a bit like a radio. You can just listen to it while you're working. So, Sean James Cameron, I don't know if you listen to the podcast. So I'd love to know if you do. Good on you, mate. I'm really pleased and I'm looking forward to hearing it. And you never know, I may be able to get him on for an interview one day. So that's it for this week. I'm going to wrap up. Next week, I'm discussing advice for beginners. So if anyone wants to add anything, please get in touch. And this was basically based around the runner-up to the competition. I've also lined up an interview, which I'm doing later this week, and I'm hoping to release the week after, in part because I've got a busy weekend that weekend. I'm celebrating my birthday, so that'll be a great one to show, to release then when I got a few minutes to do it. So that's it for this week. Take care, and I shall speak to you all again next time.